Chapter 59. The 2nd of last November, Your Majesty.
King, and what is it now?
First attendant, now, sir, it is the beginning of June.
King, ah, June, I remember.
The June flowers are not for me. I shall never see them, nor will she. So fond of them as she was.
Even if I were living, I would never go where there are flowers anymore.
No. I would go to the bleak, barren places that she never would walk in, and never knew, so that nothing might remind me of her, and make my heart ache more than I can bear.
Why, the beginning of June?
That's when they are coming to examine me.
He grows excited.
First attendant to second attendant, aside, Dr. Reynolds ought not have reminded him of their visit. It only disquiets him, and makes him less fit to see them.
King, how long have I been confined here?
First attendant, since November, sir, for your health's sake entirely, as your majesty knows.
King, what? So long?
Ah, yes. I must bear it. This is the fourth great black gulf in my poor life, is it not?
The fourth.
A signal from the door. The second attendant opens it and whispers. Enter softly Sir Henry Alford, D.R. William Eberden, D.R. Robert Willis, D.R. Matthew Bailey, the King's apothecary, and one or two other gentlemen.
King,
straining his eye to discern them.
What? Are they come? What will they do to me? How dare they? I am Elector of Hanover.
Finding Dr. Willis is among them, he shrieks.
Oh, they are going to bleed me, yes, to bleed me.
Piteously.
My friends, don't bleed me, pray don't. It makes me so weak to take my blood.
And the leeches do too, when you put so many.
You will not be so unkind, I am sure.
Willis, to Bailey,
it is extraordinary, what a vast aversion he has to bleeding, that most salutary remedy, fearlessly practiced.
He submits to leeches as yet, but I won't say that he will for long without being straitjacketed.
King,
catching some of the words,
you will straitjacket me?
Oh no, no.
Willis, leeches are not effective, really.
Dr. Holm, when I mentioned it to him yesterday, said he would bleed him till he fainted, if he had charge of him.
King, oh will you do it, sir, against my will, and put me, once your king, in needless pain?
I do assure you truly, my good friends, that I have done no harm.
In sunnier years ere I was throneless, withered to a shade, deprived of my divine authority when I was hale, and ruled the English land, I ever did my utmost to promote the welfare of my people, body and soul. Right many a morn and night I have prayed and mused, how I could bring them to a better way. So much of me you surely know, my friends, and will not hurt me in my weakness here.
He trembles.
Spirit of the pities, the tears, that lie about this plightful scene of heavy travail in a suffering soul, mocked with the forms and feints of royalty, while scarified by briary circumstance, might drive compassion past her patience to hold that some mean, monstrous ironist had built this mistimed fabric of the spheres, to watch the throbbings of its captive lives,
the which may truth forfend,
and not thy said unmalised, unimpassioned, nescient will. Spirit of the years, mild one, be not touched with human fate. Such is the drama, such the mortal state. No sigh of thine can null the plan predestinate.
Alford, we have come to do your majesty no harm.
Here's Dr. Eberden, whom I am sure you like, and this is Dr. Bailey. We arrive but to inquire, and gather how you are, thereon to let the Privy Council know, and give assurances for you people's good.
A brass band is heard playing in the distant part of Windsor.
King, what does that band play for here today?
As he has been dead, and I so short a time.
Her little hands are hardly cold as yet, but they can show such cruel indecency as to let trumpets play.
Alford, they guess not, sir, that you can hear them, or their chords would cease.
Their boisterous music fetches back to me that, of our errands to your majesty, one was congratulation most sincere upon this glorious victory you have won. The news is just in port. The band booms out to celebrate it, and to honor you. King, a victory? I? Pray where?
Halford, indeed so, sir. Hard by Albuera far in harried Spain, yes, sir. You have achieved a victory of dash unmatched and feats unparalleled.
King, he says I have won a battle? But I thought I was a poor afflicted captive here, in darkness lingering out my lonely days, beset with terror of these myrmidons that suck my blood like vampires.
No aims left to me, but to quicken death to quicklier please my son. And yet he says, that I have won a battle. Oh God, curse, damn. When will the speech of the world accord with truth, and men's tongues roll sincerely?
Gentlemen, aside,
faith, 'twould seem as if the madman were the sanest here.
The king's face has flushed, and he becomes violent. The attendants rush forward to him.
Spirit of the pities, something within me aches to pray to some great heart, to take away this evil day.
Chorus ironic, ha ha, that's good.
Thou'lt pray to it. But where do its compassion sit?
Yea, where abides the heart of it?
Is it where sky fires flame and flit, or solar craters spew and spit, or ultrastellar night webs knit?
What is its shape?
Man's counterfeit?
That turns in some far sphere unlit the wheel which drives the infinite?
Spirit of the pities, mock on, mock on!
Yet I'll go pray to some great heart, who haply may charm mortal miseries away.
The king's paroxysm continues. The attendants hold him.
Halford, this is distressing. One can never tell how he will take things now. I thought Albuera a subject that would surely solace him. These paroxysms, have they been bad this week?
To attendants.
First attendant, Sir Henry, no. He has quite often named the late princess, as gently as a child a little bird found starved.
Willis, aside to apothecary,
I must increase the opium tonight, and lower him by a double set of leeches, since he won't stand the lancet quietly.
Apothecary, you should take 20 ounces. Doctor, if a drop indeed, go on blooding till he's unconscious. He is too robust by half. And the watering pot would do good again not less than 6 feet above his head. See how heated he is.
Willis, curse that town band. It will have to be stopped.
Heberden, the same thing is going on all over England, no doubt, on account of this victory.
Halford, when he is in a more domineering mood he likes such allusions to his rank as king.
If he could resume his walks on the terrace he might improve slightly. But it is too soon yet. We must consider what we shall report to the council. There is little hope of his being much better.
What do you think, Willis?
Willis, none. He is done for this time.
Halford, well, we must soften it down a little, so as not to upset the queen too much, poor woman, and distract the council unnecessarily.
Eldon will go pumping up bucketfuls, and the archbishops are so easily shocked that a certain conventional reserve is almost forced upon us.
Willis, returning from the king,
he is already better. The paroxysm has nearly passed. Your opinion will be far more favorable before you leave.
The king soon grows calm, and the expression of his face changes to one of dejection. The attendants leave his side. He bends his head, and covers his face with his hand, while his lips move, as if in prayer. He then turns to them.
King, meekly, I am most truly sorry, gentlemen, if I have used language that would seem to show discourtesy to you for your good help in this unhappy malady of mine. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.